Chapter 2. Man on Trial. When we arrived in the village of Ross, Sherlock and I booked into our rooms at the Hereford Hotel. There was plenty of information about the case all around us, and Sherlock and I read the local newspaper in the lounge soon after we arrived. James McCarthy was on trial, and everyone widely assumed he was guilty. His own statements did not seem to help him when you read the newspaper reports. Mr. James McCarthy gave his evidence as follows: I had been away from home visiting Bristol and returned on the morning of June 3rd. My father was not at home, and a servant told me he had gone out with his coach. Later on, I heard the sound of the coach returning and looked out of the window. I then saw him leaving the yard but did not see which direction he went. Shortly afterwards, I took my gun and went out myself, going towards Boscombe Pool, as I planned to shoot some rabbits. I saw the gamekeeper, William Crowder, as I left. I know he stated that I was following my father, but I honestly did not see him and had no idea that he was going towards Boscombe Pool. As I approached the lake, I heard someone call out, "Cooey," which was how my father and I usually greeted each other. I hurried towards the sound and found my father by the lake. He was obviously shocked to see me and asked me angrily why I was there. My father has a violent temper, and we argued before I decided to return to Utterly Farm. I had not gone far when I heard a terrible scream, so I ran back and discovered my father with horrible injuries to his head. Instantly, I dropped my gun and ran to him, but he was severely injured and died within seconds. Naturally, I then went to get assistance and chose the lodge keeper's house because it was nearest to the lake. I saw no one else near the lake and cannot tell you how my father was injured. Although he was a cold and angry man sometimes, I could not name any enemies he might have had. "Well, Sherlock," I declared. "That doesn't help him very much. There was no one else around. Describing his father as cold and angry makes him look guilty. It also says he refused to explain why he and his father argued. That looks suspicious as well. If your life is at risk, surely you would explain if it could help your case." Sherlock was thinking as he made a close examination of the newspaper. "We know all that anyway," he finally said. "You are missing the useful stuff, Watson. James says his father mumbled something about a rat as he was dying. That must be significant. And the cooey thing, if he wasn't talking to his son, who else would Mr. McCarthy address in this way? Then there is another detail in his statement. Listen, Watson. As I went towards my father, I had the impression that there was something grey on the ground on the left of me, maybe a coat or some material. When I stood up to go and get help, it was gone. It must have been about 4 or 5 meters from my father's body, but when I turned, it was no longer there. I can't explain what happened to it. The boy had just murdered his father, or at least seen his bloody body. How would he know what he did or didn't see? People's memories are unreliable, even in normal situations," I answered, dismissing the importance of these details. "Look at this another way," Sherlock ordered me. "Assume the rat and the disappearing grey cloth are true, and then let us see what these clues can tell us." Shortly after, Detective Lestrade joined us. "I am sorry for wasting your time, Sherlock. It is all obvious, as you can see from the papers. I asked you to look into the circumstances at the request of a lady, the daughter of Mr. Turner. She had heard of you and was desperate for your help. She should be here in a moment. It is probably best to be honest with her. There is no hope for James McCarthy." As he spoke, a beautiful young woman entered the room and rushed towards us, looking at each of us before addressing Sherlock. "Oh, Mr. Holmes," she cried with passion. "Thank you so much for coming. I know James didn't do this, and I want you to start work immediately. I have known James since we were small children, and this charge is ridiculous. I beg you to convince people of his innocence. What have you discovered?" "Miss Alice Turner, I hope I can assist you and sympathize with you about your childhood friend," Sherlock answered. "This case is a priority for me and my assistant, Dr. Watson." "But what have you discovered?" "You have read the evidence. I know how you work, Mr. Holmes. You must find fault with the evidence because I am to blame for some of this. I am sure that I am the reason James argued with his father, which is why James will not share the truth. Miss Turner told us that Mr. McCarthy wanted his son and Miss Turner to marry, but James did not find this acceptable. Miss Turner seemed a little unsure, but said they were like brother and sister, and both were still young. Mr. Turner also did not want a marriage between the two families, only Mr. McCarthy favored it, but it caused many arguments. Miss Turner was embarrassed as she explained this, and I noticed Sherlock looking at her closely when her face turned red. "Could I visit your father tomorrow, Miss Turner?" Sherlock asked. "My father is unwell, and I am certain the doctor will not allow it," Miss Turner shook her head. "He has been unwell for years, but this has greatly shocked him. Mr. McCarthy and my father have known each other from the mines in Australia."
"The gold mines, wasn't it?"
"I believe your father made his fortune there."
"Yes, that's right," Miss Turner nodded.
"I apologize, but I cannot stay a moment longer as I need to go now to see my father. I promised to visit James, Mr. Holmes, and tell him I know he is innocent."
Sherlock nodded and stood to shake her hand before she left.
"We will go tonight, Lestrade. I think I can see a way to clear James's reputation and get him released," Sherlock announced. I was left alone with my thoughts, and I had difficulty understanding what Sherlock's insights meant. If James was telling the truth, what happened after he left his father? What was the grey material on the ground, and how did the murderer remove it?
Sherlock returned late from his meeting with James McCarthy and had hardly any new information about the murder. However, Sherlock understood why James would not agree to a marriage with Miss Turner. He was already married to a barmaid in Bristol, the place he was visiting before the murder. Unfortunately, he could not end his marriage and become available for Miss Turner, whom he loved intensely. This was the cause of the argument with his father, who was trying to persuade him to marry Miss Turner, knowing nothing of his son's foolish marriage. The only good news now was that wife heard James was going to be hung and admitted that she was already married, so actually, James was now free. But what good was this freedom to a man who was going to hang for murder?